to our worship team and those who are involved so much, because like I just can't do any of that stuff. I can't play drums. I can make noise. I can knock out a tune with my right hand if I'm careful on the piano. Maybe I can't do any of this stuff. I bless you guys back there on projection and sound, and just appreciate you so much, each one that makes our time together possible. And you guys for being here. It's good to be together. It's good to be in God's house together. Last week we considered during our message time the idea of Christmas meets chaos. I don't know, in your bulletins you have these little sort of invite cards, and we've been talking through this Christmas time. Christmas meets chaos. Christmas meets uncertainty, which we'll touch on today. Christmas meets our fears. Christmas meets our questions. And last week, as I said, we talked about Christmas meets chaos in our lives, and we touched on some of the chaos that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was dealing with in her life that first Christmas. And today I'd like us to consider together the idea of Christmas meets uncertainty. How many of you have ever dealt with or are dealing with uncertainty? Why is not everybody's hand up? I think everyone has either dealt with or is dealing with uncertainties in life at some point or another. In relating that to the Christmas account that we find in the Bible of the birth of Jesus, there was someone who was sure dealing with uncertainty, and how he dealt with it impacted history. And I'm talking about the guy named Joseph, Jesus' father, Joseph, not his real father, but his borrowed father, his earthly father. And I want us to just look at together the account that we've been considering from Matthew chapter 1. Last week we looked at some of these verses, and we looked at the account in Luke. Today I want to read together from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement. Another way of putting that in that time was to divorce her quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, which had happened some time ago. And that message said this. This prophecy said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Ever notice that Jesus did a lot of borrowing when he was on this earth, including borrowing some things at his birth? And Scripture actually uses that word. There was a borrowed barn and its manger in order to let Jesus be born into this world. There was a borrowed, further on in the account in Jesus' life, there was a story about a borrowed lunch that Jesus borrowed from a little boy to feed 5,000 people. More than that, there was a borrowed donkey in order to ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And Jesus borrowed a lot of things that brought glory to his name. In fact, even after he died on a cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, we read. Now, curiously, the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about Jesus' borrowed earthly father, Joseph. In fact, he says nothing at all in the Christmas accounts. And after Jesus' teenage years, he kind of disappears from any mention. But what it does say about him is pretty interesting, and I think pretty relevant for us. And so let's consider some background so we can appreciate a little bit more the uncertainties of life that Joseph was facing. When we join the story, Joseph is engaged to a girl named Mary. There were roughly three stages that led to a Jewish marriage in those days. Now, first, there was the stage which wasn't even between the two people who were going to get married. Rather, it was between their parents. And basically what would happen is that if a mom and a dad had a son, and in their community someone had a daughter, maybe around the son's age, the parents of the son would get together with the parents of the daughter and begin to talk, and very soon marriage would come up. And if they hit it off as parents with each other and had a good relationship, and if they felt their children had similar backgrounds, they'd come to the point where they would make a contract for marriage. Awesome. No. You see, the Jewish people felt that the young people didn't have the wisdom to make that kind of decision, and so the parents made the decision for them. Hey, it sounds good. In some countries, that tradition continues in varying degrees and ways even today. Well, then comes the second stage, and when we read the biblical account of Joseph and Mary, this is where they are. It was a time of building a relationship, of getting to know each other. It was a time of planning and dreaming. It was a happy time. It was generally a one-year period in which the couple was engaged like we might do today, yet theirs was more binding in those days. There was a contract signed by the parents. There was an agreement. There was an engagement. But they weren't to live together during that year. In fact, it was a binding contract that required divorce as the only way to break that contract. The Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph saved themselves sexually for one another until they were to be married. It's a great idea, great example. Well, the third stage was the marriage itself. The groom, about 1 year from the time of the engagement, would come to the bride's home, and he takes her back to his home, and somewhere in there there's a celebration, and they consummate their marriage later that night. Mary and Joseph are in the second stage of this process when an angel comes and speaks to Joseph. Remember that part before that we read? Now, it said Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement or to divorce her quietly. And so the angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and he says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And a couple verses later, there we read, "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." I like Joseph. I like Joseph. He doesn't stand in the spotlight very long. And we don't know a whole lot about his life, but Joseph was the kind of man that God could trust in the midst of uncertainty. He experienced uncertainties that were super intense, but he showed courage in those circumstances. And I believe the reason Joseph had such courage was because of his relationship with God. Joseph was called a righteous man. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. This morning I want to suggest five things that we can appreciate and apply to our lives as we look at Joseph. First of all, trusting God. Trust God. Qualities of this righteous Joseph, if you will. Trust God. Joseph is an example to us in times of uncertainty to trust God. I mean, imagine if you can, just I don't know if you're able to, but or maybe you have trouble imagining things, but imagine Joseph and Mary's parents come with a proposal, and they like each other and get engaged, and Joseph is working hard to earn a regular income so that he can provide a home to bring Mary to once they get married. Probably all the necessary arrangements are in progress, and the wedding ceremony was soon to take place, and Joseph imagined getting married and settling down in Nazareth. And he'd continue in his carpenter business and they'd be together happily ever after. Imagine if you can, Mary goes to see Joseph after that experience with the angel, and she says something like this, "Joe, honey, I'm pregnant." Whatever she said after that, he probably didn't hear. Joseph's first question could have been the same question any man might ask in that situation. Who's the father? I mean, Joseph's conscience was clear. He knew the baby wasn't his. He had never violated the purity of the engagement period. Even if he had wanted to, how could he? Because his relationship with Mary had been carried out in full view of the close-knit community surrounding them. But apparently Mary wasn't the person that Joseph thought she was. What was going on when she went to visit Elizabeth, he wonders. Did she even go to see Elizabeth when she was gone? Who is this other man? And Mary told him that an angel had appeared to her who said that she would conceive miraculously. Her son would be the promised deliverer, the Messiah, God's son. Woo! Wow. The Holy Spirit, you say? Wow. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I'd respond if the girl I was engaged to came and said, the Holy Spirit, I became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay. You know, that's one that hadn't been heard before. And it must have hit him like a bombshell, right? I mean, we can see that he was struggling with it. He thought that Mary had loved him as much as he loved her, but now seemingly she had been unfaithful to him. And yet Joseph realized that he loved Mary more than any person he had ever known. Even though he wasn't sure if he could trust her, he wouldn't have her judged publicly. He would divorce her privately, quietly, do it in the morning. And with that decision, maybe he just fell into an exhausted sleep. And we read that as he was sleeping, an angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God was telling Joseph, Joseph, I know you're confused. You don't know what's happening. Trust me, I'm in this. God was saying, you may not understand all that is happening, but just trust me and everything will be okay. You see, sometimes it's hard to live by faith, isn't it? I mean, if God always does what we expect him to do, if our breakthrough is on time, then maybe it's easy to have faith. But when God doesn't do what we expect, then sometimes it's hard. You see, Joseph trusted God. Even though he must have had a list of questions, he trusted God because he believed that God's will was best. I don't know about you this morning, but you may not understand that's all that's happening in certain circumstances right now in your life. You might experience a temporary setback, maybe a disappointment or an unfair situation. But keep moving forward. Keep trusting God. He is faithful and will be faithful to take care of you. It's what Joseph did. I mean, he had one bad break after another from the time he got engaged to Mary. It looked like everything was falling apart for him. He could have become bitter or angry. He could have said, God's not fair. Instead, he trusted God, it says, and God took care of him and protected him and led him through those difficult times. And sometimes we find ourselves in times of uncertainty. I mean, just think of the Christmas season. Christmas comes as a time of peace, but there's conflict in our lives. Christmas comes as a time of joy, but there's so much sadness. Christmas comes as a season of love, but there are so many problems and uncertainties and issues we deal with. And sometimes we don't know how it'll all end up, and we say, God, how can this be? But like Joseph, I believe that God is speaking to us this morning and he's saying, trust me. Trust me. My ways are not always your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You may never understand everything that I'm doing, but trust me. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he wrote this. He said, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Today, you may not know how things will work out in your life, but let me encourage you to trust God like Joseph did. And then there's the quality of Joseph, I wasn't sure how to word it, but of giving love instead of anger. Giving love instead of anger. Instead of anger. That's the French version of anger. And so if you just put an R on there, it becomes English. Restrain anger and choose to love others. Again, we can only imagine how Joseph might have reacted when he found out that Mary was pregnant. I mean, the only way his brain could realistically explain her pregnancy was that she'd been unfaithful to him. I mean, even though she said, you know, that she might have told him about the power of the Holy Spirit, he was still, you know, deciding to divorce her quietly because he still loved her. And the only way his brain could realistically explain it was that she'd been unfaithful. I mean, what would be the initial response of anyone? Shocked or deep sorrow? His dreams of marriage as he thought it would be were now forever shattered. Anger? I mean, Joseph must have felt betrayed. Might he want to lash out at Mary? But Joseph's godly character, because of his walk with God, he was called a righteous man. Joseph's godly character, his righteousness, I'd like to believe, enabled him to rein in any anger that he might have felt. In spite of all these circumstances, Joseph thought of how he could protect Mary. How do we react when people hurt us? Do we forgive them? Or do we forgive them or love them? How do we respond? 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I don't know, maybe as you're sitting here this morning, you can remember people who have hurt you. Doesn't take more than a minute, does it? Maybe you can remember people who have hurt you. Are you maybe angry with them? Maybe you worked hard for a promotion, but it didn't come through. Maybe you stood firm in a relationship, but it didn't work out. We hear this often, it's hard, but one of the best things you can do is to forgive, to let go, and give grace instead of anger. And sometimes when we struggle to find out why it all happened a certain way, it ends up giving us just pain and bitterness and just steals our joy. And we may not have understood it. It may not have been fair, but when we choose to forgive and to extend grace, it's an act of our faith. We're doing a righteous thing in God's sight. It's like we're saying, God, I know you're in control, and even though it didn't work out my way, I choose to believe that you're working for my good, and so I believe you still have something good in my future. And there's power when we let go of bitterness and replace it with things like mercy and grace and love. Let go of that frustration. Trust God, and he'll begin to work for your good. But the challenge is that the struggle is that sometimes we don't let go and we don't trust God. Joseph's life did not turn out to be like he thought or planned, I am sure, but he courageously chose to accept Mary and move on in life, giving love instead of anger. And then we see Joseph, he lives for God's approval, not people's. Joseph lived for God's approval. Joseph was struggling between two opinions, divorce her or accept her. Listen to the family and society or listen to God. But after an angel confirmed to him that Mary was pregnant because of a miracle, Joseph decided to marry her. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. Don't live for people's approval. Too many people get their worth and value out of what other people think. Do they like me? Do they approve of what I do? Insecure people seek people's approval, but a righteous person seeks godly approval. So don't spend your life trying to keep everyone happy around you. Don't be ignorant or rude. I mean, put others' interests right up there. You know, encourage them and support them and help them, but not for their approval, for God's. And all of that is about following his ways and his plans and experiencing his blessings in the process. And then there's the whole idea in Joseph of displaying moral righteousness. I mean, Joseph displayed moral integrity. Joseph took Mary as his wife, and they didn't have sex while they were dating during the engagement. They were living a moral lifestyle in a corrupt culture. However, now they're married, and, she's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So instead of exercising his husbandly rights that their culture said was okay, Joseph made a choice, and we read in Matthew 1:25, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And although Joseph had legitimate rights after the marriage, the Bible says he did not have physical relations until after Jesus was born. It takes courage to say no. and follow moral holiness in these things. The world says it's okay to have sex before marriage, but I don't believe that that's God's standard for our choices. And I think there's something to be said for God's standard, because the other way isn't working out so well for a lot of people that we are especially hearing about in the news today. Choosing moral integrity, choosing the moral high ground, is always the right choice for now and for your future. And then there was the other character that Joseph displayed. Godly righteousness is not self-seeking. It's one more thing I think we can see in Joseph's actions and decisions, is to care and provide for others who are in need as we are able. Proverbs 21:26 says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. You know, Joseph's assignment was a pretty simple one in the manger scene, and in our Christmas cards, we picture Mary looking so angelic, and maybe she's looking down on the baby or holding him, and then there's the excited shepherds and the wise men and their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in the midst of most of those scenes is baby Jesus in the manger looking so clean and pure. And just behind Mary and baby Jesus, often we see Joseph pictured just standing there looking down. His is a best supporting actor role. But his part is so important. His task given by God is this: take care of Mary and Jesus and give his best to them. Joseph had the important role of caring and giving for the needs of others. He gave whatever he had to give. He didn't know that after Jesus was born that he'd have to take them into Egypt. He didn't know that he would be separated from his hometown and his loved ones there for a long period of time. Many times his plans and preferences were sacrificed. He didn't know all the demands that would be made of him, but whatever God asked of him, Joseph freely gave. Joseph gave his life to help and care for Mary and Jesus. And let's not brush these qualities off as good for Joseph and good back in his day. Rather, maybe we can make them a part of who we are today. Letting God's grace make us just and righteous. Joseph was just an ordinary guy facing extraordinary circumstances, making courageous decisions, which is why in part he's called righteous. Hey, can you go back one slide? Are you able to do that? Another one? There we go. Trust God. Give love instead of anger. Live for God's approval, not for people's. Moral righteousness, moral integrity is important. Godly righteousness, giving, not self-seeking. And then John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 says this. It's the last slide. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous even as Christ is righteous. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you for your word that